What if I told you there was a way to solve your biggest practice challenges and connect with a thriving community all in one place? Well, the wait is over. The Best Practices Association app is here. Now available on the Apple Store and Google Play Store, this app is a way to get solutions in the palm of your hands. And the best part? It's 100% free to join. So don't wait. Download the Best Practices Association app now and start transforming the way you practice dentistry. Yo, yo, yo. Hey guys, welcome back to another awesome edition of the Best Practices Show podcast. Do you have challenges giving team members feedback? Does it work in the opposite way that you would like it to? Does it work so poorly that you don't even want to give it anymore? Don't worry, I've been there. And today, we're going to fix all that with an amazing coach. Her name is Miranda Beeson. And we did a presentation recently on this subject. And I thought it was so good, we should share that on the podcast. So here it is. Please listen up. I hope you guys enjoy it. And we'll see you soon.
We're doing another webinar today. It's me. It's Kirk. We're going to try to stay on time.
Miranda will keep us focused.
I'll do my best. I'm just as bad as you are. I get excited about this stuff too. So
yeah, absolutely.
Sweet. All right. Well, I'm going to share a screen so jump right on in.
And so, I will pretend to be Angela today.
And you're monitoring the chat. Yes. I will say, since we have more people on than just a moment ago, if you do want to ask a question, there's a Q&A box. There's also a chat box. And in that chat, I did just open it up so that you can chat with everyone or you can just chat with us. So the little blue box that says two, it's going to either say hosts, maybe hosts and panelists, or it's going to say everyone. So when you're chatting, just let us know what you have going on. If you have questions, that's what Kirk's here for. He's going to be watching that. We'll have a little segment at the end where we can answer things as well. And sometimes we can throw questions right into the middle of it. So pretty casual around here. We just like to hang out and talk about making great practices even better. And, you know, it's pretty loose. So we're going to get started. Today, we're talking about clear communication for stronger teams. You've got Kirk, you've got me. We're here from the ACT team and the BPA. So at the top of this, we always like to share with you, in case you haven't been there before and this is new to you, you're missing out. We have an online community that you can get to via app or from your desktop called the Best Practices Association. And we like to say we have three ways that you can hang out with ACT and with the best practices and learn about the strategies and tools and resources and events just like this. One is to do all of this work on your own by joining the BPA, either by going to your Google Play Store or your Apple Store and looking for the Best Practices Association app and adding it to your phone, or you can go to join.actdental.com on your desktop and sign up right there. And we have space for you. You can join us for free and get access to events and event recordings from Clinical Minds, Practice Management Minds, things that are for individual roles in the practice, things that are for the business owner. We have it all right there for you. You can also upgrade while you're in there to a premium or even team membership where your whole team can be a part of that community and have access to the chat forums and resources. The next level is joining our To the Top Study Club. So we're actually next week, we're going to be, all of us that work virtually are coming to Milwaukee. We're going to have team week. And at the end of the week, we're all going to be in the room together with a bunch of members from our To the Top Study Club who come to Milwaukee as well. And we sit in the same room and we hang out and we chat and we learn from one another and we network and we laugh a lot and we give lots of high fives and lots of hugs. Do we not?
Yes, we do.
And if doing it with a group or a study club is just not quite enough for you, level three is one-on-one coaching. So I'm a lead practice coach with ACT, and we have 10 or 11, I think, of us now that do the same thing. And we work one-on-one with teams, with dentists, private practice owners, just like a lot of you listening, to help you get everything you can out of your team, out of your practice, and ultimately just be able to live the best life that you could possibly live by having this amazing profession be able to take you there. So that's what we do. Like I shared, you can sign up on your phone. You can sign up online on your desktop by join.actdental.com. But come hang out with us in the BPA. And we always get this question when we do webinars. Is this going to be recorded? Yes, it's being recorded right now by the amazing Andy, who's probably eating barbecue in Kansas City.
For sure.
So come hang out in the BPA. You'll see there's a space that says event recordings. And this, along with every other webinar and masterclass and best practices video, it lives right there in our events recording space. The CE is linked in there as well. The resources are linked in there as well. So everything you need is right there in the BPA. Come hang out with us and you can get a recording of today's session. Later, we're also going to go ahead and post the CE in the chat. So be looking out for that. Usually we do that about halfway through. All right, now we're going to get into it. So it's the 10th of July. Hard to believe we're already in the middle of July, but here we are. And we're talking about communication to help create a stronger team. And I'll just let you know, we're going to be talking about feedback today. So we're going to talk a little bit about the importance of clarity of communication, some of the things that help us deliver really clear expectations, and then ultimately, how do we give feedback in a way that's really going to help strengthen our team? And I keep clicking in the wrong direction. All right. So why is this important? As the dentist owner, your clinical expertise can only take you but so far when you're driving success in your practice. It's really important to sometimes look at those circles of what we do. We talk a lot about that E-myth concept of being the leader, being the clinician or technician, and also being the entrepreneur. And so we're going to be talking today mostly around that leader space when we step out of the clinical chair and we have to lead our team. And how do we get the most out of our team? How do we empower our team? And how do we drive success? And a big piece of that is being able to clearly communicate expectations and give really meaningful feedback to our team in a way that helps them perform more consistently, encourages them to function autonomously, and really solve problems proactively. I often give the example of going and doing a crown and coming back to your office and you have 7 sticky notes all over your desk. And it's like, man, I wish I didn't have to solve every little problem. The leadership piece, that being able to clearly communicate expectations and provide feedback to your team helps with that. Helps them to start solving problems on their own proactively. And it really helps your team to stay engaged long-term. And we all know that a challenge that we have as practice owners is finding and keeping really great team members. So when we are really good at clearly communicating expectations from the first day they come on board, all the way through their employment, and giving meaningful feedback in a way that impacts them and helps them to feel fulfilled and engaged in the practice, they're going to stay. So without that clear communication, even the best teams can fall apart. And that's why we think it's so important to make sure we talk about this today. Any thoughts on that, Kirk, before we jump into some of these?
I have so many thoughts, but I want this to be helpful for the people that are listening. So I'll just share with you, if you're listening, like this is a lifelong journey. And I think about even my own journey, 31 years of doing this. You're never done and you learn so many things along the way. I'll say this, your ability to communicate will greatly determine how far you go in this industry. It's really easy to learn a lot of technical stuff, but it's almost too sad and too predictable. The best communicators often go the farthest as far as fulfillment, success, enjoyment. So no matter where you start, it's important just to always get better. And communication isn't always talking. My personal journey on this is to not talk. Like I told Miranda this, like she gave me an acronym. It's WAIT. Why am I talking? You ever cried across the street and it says, wait, wait, wait. This year in 2025, my journey is not to talk, but try to communicate. So think about that for a second. You don't always have to be talking to communicate.
Kirk, that's such a good point. It's funny. I used to work with a really strong visionary leader now, you, but I also used to work with a dentist who is a really strong visionary and loved new ideas and was always just thinking outside of the box. And the reality was the bulk of our team was not like that. And there was times when he would just pop into a meeting and you've shared stories like this before. He would share this thought. It was kind of a fleeting thought or a new idea. And you can see the whole team start to panic a little bit because they're immediately trying to go into like, well, when are we doing this? And how are we going to do this? And we'd leave and he'd just be on cloud 9. And I'm like, do you know what just happened in there? And he's like, what do you mean? That was great. And I'm like, no, you have to understand, like, not everyone can think in like big pictures and big, colorful, creative ways like you do. And it freaks people out. So you're exactly right. Like, it's awesome. It's such an amazing value to be able to bring to a team and add to a team. But at the same time, it's when do I communicate it? How do I communicate it? Who do I communicate it with? And based on who it is, you probably need to change it up a little bit. And like you said, the people who figure that out and learn a little bit about themselves and then be able to carry that out to understanding the people on your team and how they like to communicate, you're going to be one of the most successful dentists in business, because that's the key to everything. This slide right here, talking about the value of communication, it ties perfectly into that, because what we hear as practice coaches so often is this challenge with this thing that's happening, or this situation that frustrated me yesterday, or I'm starting to see a trend with such and such. Nearly everything that we hear as a coach comes back to expectations, core values, systems, and consistency. I have a team right now, and what we're working on for the whole quarter is just this theme of consistency and really being consistent and clear with what we're communicating. Because communication that's strong impacts your culture, right? You can see it right there. It builds trust, openness, continuous learning. When your culture is a culture of clear, consistent communication, transparency, you have so much trust that when feedback does come, it's a norm. It doesn't feel threatening anymore. It's welcomed, because our culture supports this. I know I'm not going to be caught off guard. I'm not going to have my defenses up. Like, it's very consistent. It's very transparent. We're very open here to continuous learning. When we have strong, clear communication, performance is going to improve. There's a lot better individual accountability when people know what's expected of them and how they're going to receive praise and or constructive feedback. Your team tends to be more efficient, and just overall, the standards are held a bit higher by everyone. We hear a lot of times, how do I get my team to buy in? And the biggest thing is, how are you leading? How are you communicating? What is this kind of psychologically safe space that we're creating around communication? Do we only talk to our team when they're underperforming, or are we consistently communicating even when they're doing well, or if there's a new expectation that comes to mind? So when we're communicating well, we're going to have strong communication that replaces gossip. It replaces drama triangles. It replaces assumptions, biases. We talk about attribution error, and so how we can sometimes look at someone and we make a judgment or we make a bias, and then we communicate through that without sometimes even realizing it. And so how are we making sure that this communication is clear, clear of assumptions, clear of bias, clear of gossip? It's direct, it's fair, it's kind. When we as dentists are strong leaders that are confident in our communication, our emotional intelligence is going to grow. The connection and trust we build with our teams is going to grow. And we're able to then also accept feedback, because leaders need to accept feedback too. And when we start to demonstrate and model how well that can go, our team gets more open to that idea. And in the end, what we say every time we're on one of these webinars, whether we're talking about data or we're talking about PPOs or culture, in the end, what happens is our patients get to experience a better outcome in our practice. When we're communicating well and our culture is on fire and people are performing at their highest level, we're communicating clearly, leadership is rocking, the patient experience is going to be better. We're going to be better at delivering that consistently and at a high level. Feedback loops are going to lead to stronger systems, stronger follow through, and generally a happier team and happier patients. So you ready to learn more?
I am so ready to learn more and add value. How's that?
Well, I feel like I want you to jump in on this, because you talk about clear is kind a lot, and you're really great at sharing really vulnerable, you're good about just your own personal experience and how this message of clear is kind as a leader can be really helpful. And, what I have here, if your team doesn't know what excellence looks like, they're always going to default to good is enough. Or, just kind of, he doesn't ever like come back to that. Like, we're just going to keep rolling along. If we're clear in our message as a leader, we can be direct and polite. Leaving it a little muddy or vague, or not delivering feedback when something's not meeting our expectations, it's not really kind to our team. Our team wants to do well. Our team wants to be, doing the best for our patients, doing the best for each other. So give us a little thoughts on what you think about this message of clear is kind.
Okay, this is such an important one. I could spend probably 30 minutes on this one, but it's one of the most important projects of my personal and professional life. Meaning, I'm an eye on the disc profile. I love people and I hate conflict. I've been clinically diagnosed as a wuss. Like, it makes me sweat. I get nervous. I hated conflict growing up and I would avoid it at all costs. And as I got into the business world, I realized like I wasn't doing this well. Like, I was just trying to make people, like, people would come to me and they'd go, "Oh, I screwed up." And I'd go, "No problem," when this is a huge problem. And what you do, and you learn this with kids, you have to be more and more clear, because if you aren't clear, it becomes vague. Now, we have t-shirts here. We give mm-hmm. them out. It's called, it's a mantra that we have. Specific is terrific, vague is the plague. Let me say that again. Specific is terrific, vague is the plague. When I'm vague, I'm leaving space for interpretation. Oh, he said he loved it. And I remember you coming aboard. You're like, "Oh, you said you loved it." And you told somebody else you hated it. And I'm like, "Oh gosh, this is," so I'm going to tell you, I'm on this journey myself. So it is always better to be clear than it is to be nice. Now, I'm not telling you to be mean. I'm just telling you, and you can be super clear with people without being mean. Mm-hmm. And I think those are my favorite people I've ever known. They're like, "Can I share some feedback with you?" Dina does this. I know she's going to say it next week. "Can I share some feedback?" And I'm like, "Here comes the punch." That's it up. And she's just going to give it to us. And it's super clear. Your challenge as a leader is to say more with fewer words. So be as clear as possible. Now, I have some other thoughts as we get into conflict, but anything you want to add to that, Miranda?
Well, I've shared this before. One of my favorite books is Radical Candor. It's by Kim Scott. And they're a whole company now, like it's grown into it. They have a podcast, like it's a whole movement. And the whole concept around radical candor is that there's different types of ways in which you interact with your team when you are in leadership, when you're up boss, right? And one of the things they talk about is radical candor is that really great balance of caring deeply and challenging directly. And when people know that you care about them, you can be very direct in the way that you challenge or provide feedback or criticism or whatever words you want to use to describe the fact that you need to hold someone accountable. But when they know you care, it's met with kindness. Now, she shares a story, which I think is a great explanation of exactly what you just said, which is, she was in a position early on where she had a team member who was not performing well and really liked the person. So didn't want to ruffle feathers and wasn't really providing that really clear, direct feedback to help that person really get where they needed to go, to the point where eventually her superior let that person go. And she really said, "Man, that's not their fault. That was my fault. Because I was the person who was supposed to be developing and guiding and training and managing and leading that person to be the best version of themselves in that role. And instead of being clear, I thought I was being kind by protecting them from that feedback, when in reality, I did them no help whatsoever, because here they are unemployed. And in the end, it's kind of my fault." So that's kind of leads into what you were saying, where clear is kind. We have to give feedback. One of the biggest questions that we get asked as coaches is like, when do I give feedback? How do I give feedback? It's uncomfortable. I don't want people to leave. There's so much that goes into being able to communicate in a really positive way. And the first thing that we'll start with is just talking about systems. You and I both say it's usually not a people problem. It's usually a systems problem. Occasionally, if we get through that piece, we might look at that right people, right seat and be like, maybe there's a person associated to the issue here. More often than not, it's a system problem. So we use this equation all the time. E minus R equals C. Expectations minus reality equals conflict. And you always say unresolved conflict always results in crisis. And it's true. So when conflict occurs in the practice, that's when we feel a little icky, when we sit there and we have that little like kind of bubble in our gut or that tightness in our chest. I know I should be addressing this, but it's uncomfortable and I don't know where to go. Well, number one, let's just start with systems. Systems really help provide clarity for what we do here. It's the easy thing to pull up, print out if you like a piece of paper like we do, and sit down with someone and talk about the system. Where is this system perhaps failing us? Where is a break in the system? Let's poke some holes in it. Something's not working out here, and it's not about you necessarily, awesome team member. I think it's the system. Either we don't have one, or the one that we have is failing us somehow. And when we start there, it's a much easier place to connect with a team member than they don't have to start to feel defensive that it's on me. I've done something wrong. In systems, they should always provide clarity as to who does what, when, and then how do they do that step by step. So I'll show you in just a minute a template that we use that is helps to design those systems so it's consistent with every documented system that you put in place. And systems are only going to work if everyone knows that they exist and what to do with them. We say all the time, without weigh-in, there's no buy-in. So when I'm talking about systems and E minus R equals C, it might be easy if you're an office manager on, if you're a dentist on, you're like, I'm just going to go make a bunch of systems and cool, I'll tell my team to do them. And that's not going to work because when the team doesn't buy into helping understand why we're doing it and who's a part of it and when does it happen and how does it happen, there's just less buy-in from them to even want to do it. We often say with coaching, what I love about coaching and the reason that instead of being a consultant, I love to say, you know, I'm a coach, is I don't walk into a practice and just give them a binder of systems and say, this is how you're going to practice now. That doesn't work for anybody because one, it might not work in the way that your practice functions. And two, there's no weigh-in from your team on how or what or why we're doing these things. As a coach, we're able to sit down with a team, with a dentist and say, tell me a little bit about your practice. Tell me a little bit about the challenges that you're struggling with. Hey, let's look at your data together and see where we could maybe make some improvements. And then we're able to say, here's some systems that might help your practice. Let's create those together. Let's create systems to support your individual practice in the way that you need it. We eliminate that kind of square peg into a round hole concept of me just walking through the door and trying to say, here, go do these things. So it's really great to have your whole team help to create systems for the practice so that they're a part of that creation. They're a part of the origin story around those systems. And then when you go back and look at them later, it's a group effort. And again, we're looking at this thing and not this person. So a couple of things that systems help with, and then I'd love for you to jump in if you'd like, and we'll show the template of ours is, you know, I thought she was doing the lab cases, right? What office hasn't had somebody show up in the schedule and the lab case isn't here? Mm-hmm. And then we're like, oh gosh, I have to call Mrs. Jones and tell her that we messed up and we don't actually have her case, or heaven forbid she's in the chair and we're in the lab looking for it and it's not here. And so you might hear this, right? I thought so-and-so was handling that lab case. When there's no assigned ownership or there's no assigned system for tracking lab cases, like we're going to drop the ball. Again, it's not so-and-so's fault necessarily. We don't have a system for it. So instead of being frustrated that Sally didn't have the case, let's first stop and look at how would she have known to be tracking it? Is she the person who owns that system? And being able to use that system as the accountability partner. Another thing that you might hear, we said patient experience matters. That patient left a one-star review. What happened, Janie? Well, no one's ever defined what a 6-star experience looks like here in the practice. We've never talked about it. It's not documented. We've never walked around. We've never looked at the practice. We've never talked about a tour. We didn't talk about any of these things or create a system for what an excellent 6-star experience looks like in the practice. So how can we hold the team fully responsible for delivering that if we don't have it documented? So when we work with documenting systems with teams, we encourage a template and creating a bit of a SOP manual out of the systems that you create. And this is an example of a template that we might use with a team. It's always going to have a very clear title. You can actually see right at the top of this, Kirk just mentioned that phrase, specific is terrific, vague is the plague. It's literally right there at the top of the system template. And we're going to talk about the date in which this was created. What is this system? Why is it important? Who does it impact or who may participate in it? When does it happen? Where does it happen? We get really specific. And then we devise very clear steps as to how this particular thing happens. And then we revise it. One, you know, year over year, we go back and we look and we make sure that nothing's changed. Do we need to make any updates? And we have these all housed somewhere, either physically, digitally, or both. And everyone can reference these systems to make sure that, again, there's this clarity around communication and we're able to reference a document and we're able to go back to that document rather than pointing fingers.
Yeah, it's so important to do this because two things I want to add to this. Every time you create one of these, like if you look at this template, think about this. Every time you create one of these, you're saving thousands and thousands and thousands of hours in the future of your practice life. We're going to get it right. And you can go back and you can fix it when things are out of equity or things aren't working or the practice changes or evolves. So it becomes the place where we make everything better. And this is what great businesses know, because you don't want your people looking down. You want them looking up. What systems allow you to do is give your best energy to things that matter most, which are the patients. You're not thinking about processes. And I want to tell the three-time employee of the month story at Applebee's so bad, but it's kind of, I'm kind of like getting the maximum mileage out of it. But like, it truly is one of my favorite accomplishments ever. Like, I knew how to make a Bahama Mama with my eyes closed. But here's the thing, that whether you liked Applebee's or not, like, I never looked down. Like, it was always about, it's the same thing every single time, whether you liked it or not. And when you create these systems in your practice, you can give this energy. It also frees up the cognitive rigor that happens from team members trying to figure out, what do I do next? How do I know we did this a week ago, so how do I do this? So as you can imagine, every time you create a system, you're helping everyone on your team succeed.
I love it. All right. Well, let's look at the other side of E minus R equals C. So we start with systems. So again, expectations minus reality equals conflict. Those systems lay out really clear expectations for our team members to be able to, like you said, go out and serve each other and serve our patients in the best possible way. Well, let's look at the other side of that, which is the people piece. And how do we expect people to behave? So again, systems are what we do here and a bit of how we do it. The core values are what help us to provide clarity and to communicate how do we behave here. So we use systems to communicate what we do here and how we do it. And the core values are what help us to communicate how do we behave, how do we show up. So for example, if you have a core value that is own it, the behavior that you might be looking for is, you know, we expect people to take initiative without waiting to be told what to do. And take accountability. You own it. Anything and everything that you do, you own it. Be professional. The behavior that you might be expecting out of a team member is speaking to patients and team members respectfully, even under stress. And so you can make it really super clear to people what it is that we expect about how you behave. And then, for example, eager to learn. Or we have one called Always Be Growing at ACT, very similar. A behavior that you might expect of a team member around eager to learn as a core value in your team is that you accept feedback with curiosity and not defensiveness. We need people here who are eager to learn, eager to grow, eager to improve. And you can't do that without feedback and being able to accept and receive feedback and not meet it with defensiveness. So that's the next piece of what we're going to spend our time talking about here as we go in the back half of the webinar is keys to giving clear feedback. So we talked about how important it is to be clear as kind, giving really clear, consistent feedback on a regular basis or communicating clearly and doing that through systems to make sure expectations are clear about what we do, doing that through core values so that it can be very clear about how we behave here. But now we have to be really clear and confident in actually giving feedback to our team around those expectations. And this is where we can really develop strength in our team and in our people. So feedback, when it's done right, is not about calling somebody out. It's about calling them up. And I absolutely love this statement because all of us as leaders want our people to be the best version of themselves in and outside of the office. Like when I was a practice administrator, I loved when people would tell me that something they learned from me or an experience that we had actually applied even outside into their life. I got a text maybe 3 months ago from someone who hasn't worked for me in, I don't even know, 6 years probably. And she messaged me and said, I cannot thank you enough. Like, hey, by the way, it's me. Haven't talked to you in like 6 years, but I was thinking about you because you taught me so much about DISC and communication and understanding how important it is to know who it is that you're talking to. And I have taken that so far beyond dentistry. She doesn't even work in dentistry anymore. It's a part of my life now. And I just wanted you to know that that's still with me to this day. I haven't forgotten it. And I will never forget that text because those are the things that as leaders, we really want to be able to do for people is to really call them up to be the best versions of themselves here in the practice and just in life. And so when we're giving feedback, that's what we're doing. We're not punishing someone. We're not calling anyone out. And as leaders, we have to have the mindset that I'm doing this because I care about you and because I want the best from you. And on the flip side, when we're getting feedback, which we're not going to be focusing on as much today, the receiving feedback side, although we could do a whole webinar on that, you also need to think of this same concept when you're receiving feedback. You know, when somebody is giving you feedback, they're just calling you up. They're just coaching you. They're trying to develop you. They're trying to bring you to a better place and maybe just point out a perspective that you're not able to see on your own. And if we can shift our mindset a little bit around feedback, it's going to land a lot easier. So a couple of things to think about when giving feedback, since that's our focus today, is giving it. We're going to be talking about how important it is to be consistent and specific and then safe. And the safe is going to come into play here in just a minute when we talk about the different types of feedback and being able to actually preemptively call out or tell our teams, hey, this is the type of feedback I'm giving you so that they can receive it appropriately. There's a really great quote. Everyone knows I love Craig Groeschel. I talk about him quite often, but at GLS a couple of years ago, he shared with us that you have to be clear about what you expect, reward it when you see it, and correct it when you don't. And that's how you really start to build trust with your team. What we often do as leaders, some of it's just because we don't have time. And again, we're balancing being the clinician and 95% of the time doing dentistry, is we will give feedback when we don't see our expectations being met. Sometimes consistently, sometimes once it boils over into resentment and we can't take it anymore. It's not as frequent that we give reward when we see our expectations being met. It's easier to just kind of let that stuff slide by and like today was a good day, but really stopping and proactively rewarding when you see your expectations being met. And then that other side of it is don't wait for it to pile up until you just can't take it anymore. When you see your expectations not being met, go ahead and have that corrective conversation as swiftly as possible. So let's talk about the different types of feedback. This is coming from the book, Thanks for the Feedback. And we are actually, this is our book of the quarter with our To the Top Study Club. So a little sneak peek, we're going to be talking about this next week and the week after in Milwaukee. And this book is by Doug Stone and Sheila Heen. I think it's fabulous. It leans into how to give and receive feedback. And we talk about these three unique feedback styles, which are appreciation, coaching, and evaluation. And when we are giving appreciation or receiving appreciation, it's basically saying, I see you and you matter. When we're looking at coaching as a feedback style, it's how can you improve? And when we're looking at evaluation, it's a measure against where you stand. It's letting us know where you stand against maybe an expectation or a piece of data or a metric or a benchmark. So when we look at these three different types, it's easier to lean into delivering the right kind at the right time. So appreciation, for example, is feedback that can be expressed as thanks or recognition or affirmation. Most people love receiving appreciation as a style of feedback. Not many people will balk at that. I will say, actually, sometimes I'll get feedback after like an event or a webinar that's like, oh, that was so great. And I immediately want to say, well, I'm like, well, that's nice, but what could I do better? Because I actually really like critical feedback even
you
more.
You do. You do.
But this type of feedback is focused on making someone feel seen and valued. They're motivated. It's that positive reinforcement concept. Did you notice me? Do you value what I'm doing? Am I making a difference? Those are things that really boost confidence in our team members and help to provide motivation. The trickier pieces of feedback are coaching and evaluation. So coaching is feedback that is intended to improve or develop a skill or a component of someone's performance. So it's going to provide guidance, a tip or suggestion on how to have future success. That's a big element that separates it from evaluation. And we'll talk about both real quick, and then I'll point out those two differences again, because those two get kind of muddied a little bit at times. Coaching answers questions like, how can I get better? What should I do differently next time? What would help me improve? And the purpose of it is to improve competence, ultimately also confidence, and long-term grow their capability. We talk a lot about the right people, right seat scorecard and the capacity to do it. And a lot of times we'll kind of just assume that if someone doesn't have the capacity to do it, they just don't. When in reality, if we give some coaching, use that note section in the bottom of our check-in agenda and really provide some valuable coaching and give them an opportunity to apply some of that, we'll see that capacity and that confidence really change over time. And coaching lands best when it's framed as support. And that's when we bring back in that caring deeply and challenging directly side of things. When they know that we care about them and this is coming from a place of positivity and just wanting to develop and not just pointing out flaws, it really goes a long way.
Yeah. You mentioned the term check-in. You know, if you've been on anything we've ever done, you know that we're big fans of regularly scheduled check-ins. And I want you to think about this. You can give people feedback and coaching, but don't make it a flyby. Like, hey, I got a few seconds, just going to give you some feedback. It wasn't very good what you did. Get better at it. Bye-bye. You can't. That's what they hear, even though your intention was probably good with that, with a regular system of check-in. And if you use the right person, right seat scorecard, now you have to get extra specific. It forces a regular meeting or cadence where you're giving feedback, you're receiving feedback, and you're also talking more about than that just piece that you're giving. Anything you would add, Miranda?
Well, the other piece around a check-in is that it's all about building connection.
Yes.
So check-ins are frequent, every 4 to 6 weeks, one-on-one, 15, 20 minutes. They're not intended to be what you would consider a traditional performance evaluation. Once a quarter, we encourage teams to bring in the right people, right seat scorecard to do a bit more, which we're going to talk about in a minute, is like the evaluation, like measuring up to an expectation or a bar of some kind. The majority of the check-ins are going to be coaching opportunities, a time to connect so that the team members know you care about them as humans, not just resources, and then give you the opportunity to, like you said, which is just as important, receive feedback from your team along with giving feedback to your team. And then again, once a quarter, we build in that right people, right seat scorecard. That's when we can use evaluation. Now, occasionally you might bring evaluation into the mix at a check-in, or even sometimes at the end of the day, if it's a very urgent thing that needs to be discussed. But evaluation is going to be feedback that lets someone know exactly where they stand. This could be good or bad, right? It might be that we're saying, hey, here's some evaluation feedback for you. You're crushing it at hygiene reappointment percentage. You're at 98%. Week over week over week, hygienist, of reappointing your patients. Good job. Now, that might feel like appreciation, but that's actually evaluation feedback because it's measured against a metric or a bar or an expectation. Now, in the same breath, evaluation feedback could be, hey, guess what, hygiene friend? You're at like 60% hygiene reappointment, and our goal is 90 or above. So now let me bring in a little coaching. Here's some things I think that you might be able to do to help improve this over time. So they're getting a little bit of evaluation. Anytime you're measured against a bar of any kind, whether it just be against a core value, against, you know, behavior expectations, system expectations, metrics, that's evaluation, good or bad. If you bring in the support mechanism of what I think you could do to improve, we've now layered in coaching. And so that's the big difference that can get a little unclear between those two types of feedback. The evaluation is always measuring where do I stand against a goal, a standard, an expectation that's been clearly laid out for us. So it's going to answer questions like, am I meeting the mark? How does my performance stack up? Sometimes it's not against a metric. Maybe it's against like another person, another practice, another department, that type of thing. Is it good enough where I'm at and what I'm doing? And the purpose of this type of feedback is to clarify expectations and to help team members understand the outcome of their efforts so that we can have a lot of clarity around, it's not just like, hey, thanks for your efforts today. There's something very specific and measurable that we are looking at. It can feel kind of high stakes because this is sometimes the most intense kind of feedback. When we meet at to the top, we're going to talk about some triggers that people might experience when they're receiving feedback. And I would say evaluation probably hits triggers more often than other types of feedback because it is a bit more direct and there's a bit of identity that comes into play when someone's receiving it. But to be effective as a team, as a practice, we have to get comfortable with having these conversations when they're needed. But you can balance the good with the bad. We're not, if we're always having evaluation feedback, how we're not meeting the expectations, and we're never providing feedback on how we are meeting the expectations, that's when you get into trouble.
Yeah, I was just going to say what you said better. You know, if you're only giving negative feedback, it's going to sound like you're just the cranky old person that's never happy. Like, you're only talking to me when you're never happy about things. And so if you're like me and you're a wuss, this, you think about how you're going to experience, this is going to be hard. I'm going to hate this, blah, blah, blah. But think about what your practice is going to experience on the other side. What Miranda said is so true. You have to think about this, the good and the bad. What you'll ultimately do, if you stay consistent, it's going to be about 85% good, but there's going to be 15% of it, which is bad. And I told this story all the time. We had a great guy come into our organization. He's still a great guy. And we paid him a crazy amount of money to save us in marketing. And I started giving him the right person, right seat scorecard right away. And he hated it. And I was terrified. Like, I'm like, no. And he quit. The first time I told him, he wasn't meeting the mark. And so it was important because nothing was happening, you know? And so he's like, well, I guess I'm not your guy. And I'm like, no, I'm just giving you feedback. And he quit the very next morning. Now, that was the most horrific experience I probably ever had. But after that, I'm like, well, from now on, I'm just going to tell everybody the truth. I'm not responsible for how they respond. I'm not responsible if they get upset. I'm just now going to say the truth, and the best ones stay. And ultimately, if you stay consistent with that, everybody starts leaning into the same principles. It's crazy. So
And if you go back, you think about, you tie all this together a little bit, and I'll kind of go down that rabbit hole for just a minute before we move on, of all of these things come together, the systems, the core values, the feedback, the check-ins, it all intertwines. Because if your core values are like our core values are, an all-in attitude, results-driven, always be growing, we before me, like all of these very all-in, they speak to, you need to be able to receive feedback, apply it, make corrections, get the results. Like, that is part of our hiring process, is finding those people who really fit those values. So when you have the right person, say in our organization, let's say, and you're having this evaluation conversation, say against those values or against that role, you're going to likely have somebody who's not liking to hear it. No one wants to hear that they feel like they're not meeting the mark, but they're probably going to get pretty fired up to do better. And so that's where all of these pieces start to come together, because you're able to start saying like, well, maybe it's not the right person, or maybe they're not in the right seat, but we have to do everything we can as a leader first to make sure we've set the clear expectations around behaviors. We've set the clear expectations around the systems. We're doing our part to consistently reward when we see a meeting those, consistently provide that feedback of correction when they're not. And in the end, after all of that, if we're still not there, we just know, like, this probably isn't a good fit. And a lot of times what we see leaders do is immediately say like, I don't know what I'm going to do with this person. They like, maybe we should just find someone else. But have you put the work in as a leader to truly lead and develop your people is, you know, where you got to start. So when we look at this, you think about what are some of the key elements? Let's kind of recap a little bit. Intentional feedback is the key. I would encourage every single person listening to really check yourself on how often you give appreciation and positive evaluation. It's probably not as often as you would like or would think, and it's probably not as often as your team would like.
Right.
Because that's, you know, you got to balance it. If all anybody's ever hearing is what they did wrong, that's when we hear from teams like, well, I just don't want to get in trouble. Well, why didn't you tell me about, well, I don't want to get in trouble. Anytime I have team members that tell me they think they're going to get in trouble from their doctor, I automatically know they're not. They're just not getting enough appreciation and value-driven evaluation. So it has to be intentional, even if it's creating a system out of it, because that's not natural for you. Just remember some key elements that clear is kind. Don't try to protect yourself because you find giving feedback uncomfortable, or others because you think they may not want to hear it with your vagueness. Know the type of feedback you're providing and then call it out. It's really great once you understand these different types of feedback to be able to say, I'm going to give you a little bit of coaching right now. I'm going to give you some evaluation. I'd love to show you some appreciation. And if your team also understands these types of feedback, they're able to immediately start filtering the receipt of that information in a different way. If I know I'm receiving coaching, I can put my defenses down just a little bit because I'm not being judged. It's not evaluation. Someone's just trying to help me. And so we have to start to create those filters of thought when we're giving it and receiving it. Feedback should match the receiver's readiness. So we're going to talk here on the next slide in terms of when do I provide these different types of feedback. Just because you've let it boil over and you can't take it anymore, that doesn't mean it's time to have that conversation. It needs to match when the receiver is ready also to receive it. And you have to assume blind spots. You have to know that there may be things driving you absolutely crazy, doctor, that your team member has no idea is even a problem. And you're festering in your office and on your drive home about it. And they've never even seen it. They have no idea. And so we have to assume that those blind spots exist and lean into developing and bringing awareness to our team members versus immediately resulting in discipline or evaluation or something that might be met with defensiveness. Ultimately, feedback is hard because you're growing people and you're growing yourself, and growing is hard. Growth is hard, and making those changes is hard. So I just want to share a little bit of some of the things that we hear from doctors, leaders, office managers who are struggling to give feedback. A lot of times it's fear that holds us back. We talk a lot about DISC, and D style people, 3% of the population are pretty much the only people who are open and enjoy conflict or any type of feedback conversations. That's why I crave it. 3%. That means 97% of people struggle to give it and struggle to receive it. And the biggest factor is fear. You know, they might think they're going to take it personally and that's going to be uncomfortable. Or I'm afraid that they might get mad or quit. I'm afraid they're not going to like me anymore, right? If you're high I, Kirk, you want everyone to like you. It's a party, yes, all the time. Yes. And so the fear thoughts might start to show up like this. If the fear thought is, well, what if they take it personally? And it gets uncomfortable. What that might sound like is like, well, I don't want to hurt their feelings. So why is it harmful? You might delay or water down helpful feedback, which allows bad habits to grow. And if you reframe that, feedback is a gift. If I deliver it with empathy, it's going to help them grow in a good way versus allowing those bad habits to grow. That fear thought of they might get mad or quit, it might sound like she's been under a lot of stress. I better not pile anything on. So hard to find hygienists right now, that kind of thing. But if we avoid the feedback, it's going to enable those performance issues to continue. That can hurt the whole team. Sometimes that can even hurt patients. And so if we can reframe a leadership mindset that hard conversations protect the team and they protect our patients and they improve that individual success over time. And it's just reframing mentally the outcome and being really focused that eye on the horizon to what we want to see happen. We have to go down this hard path. fear of they're not going to like me anymore. It might be like, well, if I give them feedback, it's going to change our relationship. Like, what if she starts ignoring me? She tends to hold a grudge. Okay, well, it's harmful because your desire to be liked might outweigh your responsibility to lead. And you're certainly going to upset your really awesome team members if you allow a not awesome team member to continue down this path simply because it's easier for you or you're afraid they might not like you anymore. Leadership reframe. Being liked is nice. Being respected for fairness and clarity and being a strong leader is so much better.
Right. Nothing frustrates a great team member than when you as a leader consistently tolerate a bad one. And I'm talking more about behavior than anything. So your best team members are looking at you in these moments. So this is a great framework that Miranda is giving you on these elements.
Yeah. And then the other piece is, you know, people always ask, well, when do I give it? And so when we're looking at the types of feedback, when you're looking at appreciation, yeah, give it immediately whenever you can. No, you know, usually that's received positively. You can usually do it easily. You know, you don't have to think things through or work yourself up. With appreciation, you can also save it for one-on-one. And you can bring it to your quarterly scorecard. There's really no time in which appreciation is not well, you know, welcomed from your team members. And generally, it doesn't require a whole lot of mental or emotional energy from you as a leader.
Yeah, I would just say as a dentist, and I'm speaking more to the males. The females are actually pretty good at this, but it's crazy how many male dentists. I'm like, can you say thank you? Like, let's practice this. Thank you. Thank you. Like, your team members work their tails off for you, and you should just get into a habit systematically at the end of the day going, hold on, I just, Mrs. Patient or whoever, I just got to say goodbye and thank you to my team members. Hey, before you guys leave, thank you. 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 Like, just get it and do it authentically, because we all have BS meters too. So don't just say, cause you heard it on a webinar, do it because you really care, and let them know that before they go back to their lives, I really appreciate you. In the South, they do it really well. Down South, they go, appreciate you.
Appreciate like, you.
Appreciate you. I love that. And you feel it. You
little
feel
cha.
It. Yeah.
Well, and the other thing to think about with appreciation is, if you, like I said before, if you aren't naturally good at it, it's funny that you said male or female, because I've seen it both ways, but perhaps there's some evidence that females are better at it than males. But you can systemize feedback in a really positive way. If it's not naturally, like if you're, you know, a really high C style person who thinks logically, doesn't really contemplate how other people are feeling on a regular basis, just naturally not part of your decision-making or thought process, you can systemize that to still build appreciation in to your workday. When we look at coaching, again, this at times can be met with defensiveness because people tend to, we're not highlighting those triggers today, but there are some particular triggers that can happen for people when they get any type of feedback. And so when we're providing coaching, we can look at coaching right now if it's clear, it's concise, and it's constructive. So I like to think of examples that are things that could potentially impact other team members or perhaps patients that we don't want to wait to provide this type of feedback. It's something we need to give now. Yes, you can do that now in the moment if it's clear and it's not met, behind it isn't bottled up emotion or resentment. If it needs discussion or context, then you're going to want to save it for a one-on-one. And if it is, if we're waiting for that quarterly scorecard, like, yes, you can build some coaching into the quarterly scorecard, but you don't really want to wait and hold all of your coaching for a quarterly scorecard, or for some people who are doing it twice a year with big teams. That's too delayed. It's not going to be as useful. So with coaching, you're going to want to do that in the moment if it's quick and clear and not met with like emotional flooding behind the delivery. And one-on-ones, which are those every 4 to 6 weeks, you're going to be able to add an element of discussion or context. Waiting to every quarter, every 6 months, or an annual evaluation to provide someone with coaching is just far too long. When you look at evaluation, which is judging against a standard, if it's positive judgment against a standard, we have marked here not to deliver evaluation in the moment, but I would argue that if it's positive evaluation, you could. Evaluation in general, because it is to some degree a level of evaluation or judgment, should be held for these private one-on-ones with opportunity to discuss things further. So your one-on-one meetings and perfect for your quarterly scorecard, because you have, pardon me, you have metrics right there in your scorecard that you're measuring against. And if you remember, evaluation is measuring against a standard, a behavior, a metric, something specific to let that person know where they stand. And the scorecard is the perfect opportunity to deliver that type of feedback. A couple of little feedback statements just to kind of soak this in into what these different types might sound like. I really appreciated how you stayed calm with that anxious patient today. That's going to be appreciation. Next time, the second one, next time, try giving the patient a few more seconds to process before you jump in with a solution. That's some coaching, right? We're trying to help them understand how to do a little bit better. You met our patient communication standard for clarity and tone. Great job. Now that might sound like appreciation because we have a little great job at the end, but it's measuring against an expectation, right? You met our patient communication standard for clarity. So because we're measuring against a standard here in the practice, it's evaluation. It just happens to be positive evaluation. Another one, I love how you step in and help others even when it's not your job. Appreciation. So Kirk, when you say go and say thank you to someone, your concept of specific is terrific, vague as the plague still applies here. Giving specific thank you and appreciation is so much better than a blanket thank you. So with this in particular, it's like, I love how you did this thing, and you actually state the thing. Two more examples. When you're reviewing treatment options, it helps to make eye contact more often. That's coaching. We're not saying you hit the mark. You didn't hit the mark. We didn't measure against any kind of standard. We're just providing a bit of support or additional information that might make things better for you in your role. And then this last one, you're consistently below case acceptance benchmarks this quarter. What ideas do you have to improve this? Again, measuring against a benchmark or a standard. That's a form of evaluation. So some final takeaways, and then I want to hear yours too. Just to recap, core values and systems are what help lay out the expectations, but we don't set it and forget it. It's required that we consistently reflect and intentionally keep alive those core values and systems, revising and reviewing them and aligning around them on a regular basis. It's important to think about feedback as a gift and not a punishment, not only as you, the giver, but also as the receiver. When feedback is given well, it really shows belief in someone's potential. It helps them to know that you care about them and where you want to help them go. Try not to hold back in fear and instead gift your team the clarity of feedback. Clear is kind. People want to know where they stand and they want to hear it consistently. So choose one recurring team issue and ask yourself, have I clearly defined what being done right actually looks like? Do we have a system around whatever this recurring team issue is that I have in my practice right now? If you haven't, this is just your little action step. Step one, the first little thing you can do. If not, go tackle that issue and document a system for what do we do and how do we do it around this particular recurring theme of issue in our practice. And if you can tie core values into why this matters, great. That's like icing on top of the cake. Kirk, I'd love to hear some final thoughts from you while I pull this page back up. And if anybody needs to scan or sign up, did you put the CE in the chat?
Yes, I did. And I'll put it in the chat again. This is such a valuable, valuable lesson and framework that Marina's given us. And I know it's not the most exciting or, you know, flashiest or whatever. This communication thing is so incredibly important, because I'll leave you with a couple of last thoughts. Your future depends on one thing: trust. People have to trust you. And in order to do that, they have to know where they stand with you at all times. Your team members can like you, but they might not trust you. And so when you are consistent, you're clear and you're calm, you can earn both of those. They can like you and trust you, and they will, I promise you. And when you start to do this, and again, I've been on the journey that everybody has. When you don't have a framework, you give feedback and it sounds emotional. I'm like, arr, 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 And it comes across as angry and upset. And I'm not trying to be, I'm just trying to tell you. But when you're calm and consistent with this, it is amazing how you can get to the other side. And there's nothing better than going to work. Now, last thought, you spend 30% of your life at work. 30%. You want to go to an environment that's safe, clear, calm, and clean. Meaning you know where you stand with everybody. We cascade information, whether I like it or not. You don't have to like the information, but here it comes, you know, type of a thing. And if you raise a family or you have a family, this is the Barrett mantra in the last couple months. Good news travels fast. Bad news travels faster. I want bad news fast, clear, concise. Tell me right away exactly what happened. Don't sugarcoat it and don't leave any details out. It is amazing how much more trust you have when you can cascade bad information. So where do we go with there? One more question somebody asked in the chat. Miranda, where can I get the right person, right seat scorecard? How is that available?
Oh, well, here you go. In the BPA. No. So we have all of our resources in our BPA platform in the Best Practices Association. If you are a premium or a team member, if you're a pro coaching client or a To the Top Study Club client, that's already available to you. If you are a basic member, you're going to be able to have the recording here. And there's other recordings, webinars, podcasts that talk about that right people, right seat scorecard. And then to upgrade to premium or team, you'll have access to the actual scorecard itself, the downloadable, fillable resource that you can use with your own teams. So right there in the BPA is where we have everything. When we post the webinars, we also post the resources and link them to those posts. Again, if you have a premium or team membership, you'll be able to access those resources, download them, use them in your practice right away. If not, and you're just testing us out in that free basic space, I would at least encourage you to go into the event recordings and you can search Right People Scorecard or Right People Right Seats in the community. And you can see every podcast or webinar that we've ever done that talks about the concept of check-ins and Right People Right Seats. Are there any other questions? I'm going to put this up to our next week. And on the 25th, we're doing our Leadership Excellence, Fostering a Flourishing Team Environment To the Top Study Club in Milwaukee for dentists. It's getting close, but we do have the QR code there. Christina may or may not be happy that I put it up in case more people get added to the list. But we're going to be talking about giving and receiving feedback along with the triggers and a lot of other things that help us to be stronger leaders.
Yeah, no other questions in the chat, Miranda. Amazing job. And please join us for the To the Top Study Club. Selfishly, it's one of my favorite things because I get to learn from all the other entrepreneurs in the room. If you're looking for a place where you can learn a ton and be surrounded by like-minded people that are truly there to help you, come join us. I'll be there. Miranda will be there. The ACT team will be there. And we're so happy to have you. So
yeah,
thank you. Great job.
This has been really fun. Thanks everybody for being here with us. Like we said, the recording will live in the BPA. Hopefully you got the CE in the chat. I see it. I see it's there multiple times. So if you do have questions about CE, hey, just let us know. We can always help you out. Yeah. Thanks, Kirk, for being my co-host today.
It is my pleasure. I didn't have to do anything but just like respond to what you were talking about. The beauty in working with brilliant people like Miranda is you just got to let them do their thing. And so great job. Great job.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. I hope you have a great rest of your day.
Have a great day, everybody. Thank you. So there you have it. Another great episode. Hope you guys enjoyed it. And thank you for showing up. I just want to thank you for being here and sharing the good word with your friends. And if you're really enjoying the podcast, could you do me a favor? Could you go to wherever you consume the podcast and just give us a 4 or 5 star review? Here's what that does. It allows us to find other great people like you. I love this profession so much. I'm going to spend the rest of my professional life finding great information so that you can consume it and your friends can consume it so that you can create a better practice and a better life. So keep spreading the word and we will see you guys soon. Have a great day, everybody.